We're a gospel-centered church. That means good news. We're about good news. It's written in our DNA brochure. It was so important to Jesus that he left people in need to proclaim it. This morning, we're going to look at some people and we're going to ask, what was the good news for each of them? Now, they're very different people, so see if you can identify with one of them. Now, I know after a 10-week Alpha course, I know lots of people who come are curious. Perhaps that's you. There was a man in John's Gospel called Nicodemus. He was curious. He was also rich and powerful. But he was definitely interested. He wanted to know what Jesus could show him about life and about God, about this good news. Like polite upper-class people today, he started the conversation by giving Jesus a lot of compliments. We know you're from God. We know what a great teacher you are. We've seen the signs that you do. We're very impressed with you, Jesus. That was the tone of what he said. We do that too, don't we? How nice to meet you. Even when we've never met the person, there might be an axe murderer, but we'd still say it, wouldn't we? How nice to meet you. We're just trying to be polite. What was Jesus' reaction to Nicodemus? Jesus cut him short. Look, Nick, never mind your family background. Never mind about this religious club you're in, the Pharisees. They won't do you any good at all. You must be completely reborn. You think you're special, but God loves the world. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, it was said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have a whole and lasting life." Now, for Nicodemus, who was part of the religious elite, that was quite an eye-opener. God loves the whole world? Really? Of course, maybe you're not like Nicodemus. Maybe you're not intrigued at all. Maybe you see yourself as a bit of an outsider this morning. Whenever I'm in a big crowd, I always question if I fit in. If you're thinking, I'm not sure this is for me, if you're a bit skeptical, listen to Thomas. After Jesus resurrected and appeared to the other disciples, Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nail marks were, and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe." 8 days later, Jesus appeared to Thomas. You know the first thing he said to him? He didn't reject him. He didn't say, "Thomas, you've blown it." He didn't say, "You can't follow me." Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. And put your hand in my side." That's where the spear had been pushed in. "Believe it, Thomas. It's me." Sometimes I wonder if Thomas actually did that. Maybe he just had a sheepish look. Skeptical Thomas was no doubt embarrassed, but he wasn't rejected. Because from that day on, Thomas called Jesus my Lord and my God. Okay, what about another set of people? What about all those who feel at home, feel they belong, feel like they're on the in? Here's a story for you. Luke 18, 9 to 14. Jesus told a story to some who were pleased with themselves, those who looked down their noses at common people. Jesus said, "Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a very religious person called a Pharisee, the other a tax man who nobody liked. The Pharisee posed and prays like this. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, crooks, degenerates, and not like this taxman. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all my income to worthy causes. Meanwhile, the taxman slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands. Not daring to look up, he said, God be merciful to me, the worst of all sinners. Well, who do you think God was pleased with? Which one do you think was right with God? The religious man or the social reject? This is what Jesus said. This tax man, not the religious do-gooder, went home made right with God. Jesus ended the story with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. You see, if you are a bit of an outsider, you probably know some religious people, and many think religion is for those who look down on others, those who think God loves them, but doesn't love others quite as much. That's not what Jesus said in this story, is it? If you've come here this morning an outsider, feeling not good enough, you're in the right place. None of us here are awesome or hot. We're not even cool. We're just an ordinary bunch of people who've taken our problems to God. It's so difficult for people to get this out of their thinking. So many people think you've got to be better than others to approach God. Straight after Jesus told this story, the disciples had a go at mothers who brought their children to Jesus. Jesus had the opposite view when the disciples said, send them off. Jesus said, permit the children to come to me. Don't hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Think about it. If Jesus turned up this morning, he probably wouldn't be in here listening to me. He'd be in kids' club, which is lucky for me. Is God just for those who think they are superior? Have a look at this video. It's only 2 minutes long. It's from Luke 7, 36 to 50.
When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town, who lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
What do we know about this woman? It's summed up in what Simon and his dinner guests said about Jesus. If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner. Jesus' view of the woman was very different. He said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, to us today, saved is a strange term, isn't it? It means healed and mended. It means being delivered from a life that's not working. Jesus' name actually means saved by God. I like the phrase I read in a book recently by a guy called Andrew Wilson. He said, Jesus' name means God to the rescue. That's the good news. God is here to our rescue. So how was the woman saved? Certainly not her morality, not a stack of good deeds counting in her favor with God, none of the things we associate with religious people. She was saved, healed, and made whole because she brought the mess of her life to Jesus. She didn't pretend she was better. In fact, she was ashamed and in tears because her life was so messed up. What did she do? She brought her debts to Jesus and accepted his offer to pay for them. There's a verse in Romans 3:23 that tells us we all come short of God's standard. None of us are good enough. Devout, pious people, like that guy you saw before. Happy, clappy people. Complete atheists, like my brother. We all get things wrong, even by human standards. Conflicts with others, stresses and greed, we're destroyed by them. We all come short. I know I've done a lot of things wrong. Last week, at the self-checkout in the co-op, I got a pack of flake cornettos. I got four in a pack, and it only charged me for one. The bar reader got it wrong. I took full advantage, but I didn't enjoy eating them quite as much. Now, I could say the greed got the better of me. Well, it gets worse. I took them home, and I had my flake cornetto. And I let Maggie have one as well. And then after that, I had raspberry cornettos. And I left the other two to Maggie. I've done a lot of things wrong, but I've done a lot worse than that. Too bad to go into here. If I went into detail, if my life was played up on that screen, I'd be appalled and so would you. Jesus knows exactly what it's like in here. This is how he describes it in Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, unfaithfulness, theft, deceit, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Now, none of us want to be summed up like that, but there's a bit of it, in fact, a lot of it, in our hearts. All have sinned, me too. We're no different. We fall short too. The only one who is not swallowed up in the deceitfulness of riches, the worries of the world, and the desire for other people's things is the one we just saw in the video. And what did he do? He didn't sit back and say, You lot, you're just not good enough. You know what he did? He took the blame for all the bad things we've done. And in my case, that's a lot. He took that blame and he nailed it to a cross 2,000 years ago, so that we could be forgiven and then approach a holy God. I heard recently, Christianity is not for those who think they are good, but for those who know they aren't. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While our lives were in a mess, when we were controlled by things like addictions and anger, God reached down and said, let me help you. Not just the good people, because really there aren't any up to his standard. He loved us while we were sinners. That's who can come to God, those who admit they need him. It's a free gift paid for by Jesus, taking the blame for all the bad things we've done. Not only that, the bad things we will do. I still get things wrong. I know I'll need forgiveness as I go through life if I'm going to approach a holy God. Remember what Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Trusting in me has saved you, not your good deeds, not being better than others, but trusting in me to sort out your mess. It's been asked, why is there so much human suffering? I heard a good answer on the Alpha Course. It said, do you know what the heart of the problem is? It's the problem with our hearts. That's what we need to deal with. Trouble is, we can't. It's who we are. We come up short. We want to put things right, but it's just not in us. C.S. Lewis, famous author, he said, it's like we have the right music. We know what the score is, but we just keep playing the wrong notes. Once I played the captain of the Loughborough University table tennis team. He beat me in the first set, 21-14. I thought I'd done really well. Then I realised he was playing with the wrong hand. Now, at this point, I could have said, next week, you can use your right hand. I'll practice a bit more. I'll get a bit better. And maybe I could get a bat like yours. No, I was never going to reach his standard, was I? I just had to accept it. Have a look at this woman's picture. This is Shelley Ann Fraser Price. With that name, she's bound to be special. She's a triple Olympic gold medal athlete. And she entered the Parents' Day race at her kids' school. Ready, steady, go, whoosh! Shelley Fornames had finished before the others were out the blocks. Can you imagine what the other mums thought? Next year I'll try a bit harder. I'll get some better trainers. It's not going to happen, is it? She's always going to win. The only thing the other mums could do would be enter the wheelbarrow race and let Shelley push. That's the only way to a life that's going to work. Get in the wheelbarrow and let Jesus push you along. Trying to be good, that's not going to work. Maybe you're not at a point of making a decision. Maybe you're intrigued and want to see what God is about. Maybe you just want to find out more. You can read a gospel. That's what I did. We've got some at the back. That's how I started. I was sat up in bed in my 20s in a corridor, and I could hear these people going down the corridor, knocking on doors, saying things like, hi, did you know God loves you or whatever? And they got to my door And I didn't really want to tear myself away from the music I was listening to, so I said, push it under the door. Fortunately for me, they weren't giving out Bibles. It wouldn't have gone under. But they pushed under a John's Gospel. And when they pushed it under, later that evening, I started to read it. Now, I'd tried all sorts. I'd tried spiritualist churches. I'd tried existential philosophies, all sorts of things that didn't help me at all. But when I read this book, I knew God was speaking to me. And I prayed, I made a decision, I prayed for the first time in my life. You say you're the light of the world, show me. That was my first prayer. You say if I follow you, you'll show me the light of life, show me. You say you are the way, the truth, and the life. It's all in John's Gospel. And I prayed, show me. And he did. And he's been showing me this for the last nearly 50 years. Perhaps you're further on in your journey than I was that night. Maybe you've come to a point where you're wondering, can I trust this God with my life? It's a big decision. Listen, he's not going to force or frighten you into that wheelbarrow. He invites you to choose. The start of the race is realizing you can't do life alone without help. That you need more than yourself to get through life. Don't go down the avenue of, I'll try harder. It's not going to work, is it? It's about accepting God's free gift, the gift that cost him an enormous amount. Like Jesus said to that woman, your faith, your trust in me, let that sort out your life. You may have come this morning unsure who all these people are, what they stand for. This is what they're really like. This is a verse which describes all of us Christians. We're not holy Joes. Listen to what this verse says. It'll surprise them as well. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. It wasn't so long ago that we were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. We let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell us how to live. We all did it. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. If you've come this morning and you want to take that step, if you want to leave a life that's not working, this is how we receive the love of God. This is how we get into the wheelbarrow. However you're coming, intrigued, skeptical, or even wanting to believe, Jesus is knocking on the door of your life. This is a painting representing a verse in the last book of the Bible. He's knocking on that door because he wants you to let him in. Now, at the beginning, I said the gospel, the good news, wasn't just for non-Christians. This verse is for everyone here. Originally, it was written not to people outside the church. It was written to the lukewarm church at Laodicea. Lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps you've wandered away from your original faith. If you do, do you know what's missing? I do. It says it here. Jesus wants to come in and share your whole life. Not just an hour on a Sunday. How often do you eat? 3 times a day? 7 days a week? Not once a week. He says, I want to come in and eat with him and he with me. I'm looking forward to Sunday lunch, but I'm hoping that's not it for the week. Maybe it's time to share your whole life with him. When my kids were teenagers, I wondered, how can I take care of the needs of my family and do all this church stuff? It just isn't time. I forgot something. My example as a dad is more important to them than the latest phone or clothes or holiday. One thing about teenagers, they know what's real for you. You can't kid them. They know. If your relationship with God is just 1 hour a week, they know. What do you really want for them? It's not the latest phone, is it? This morning, you may have thought, what shall I do about Jesus? Let him into your life, your whole life. In that picture, there's no handle on the outside of the door, only on the inside. That's deliberate. He won't force his way in. He will let you decide. That's his nature. He wants you to trust him, not be enslaved by him. We're no longer slaves to sin, but freed from it. Sometimes all of us need his help. This year, I've had quite a tough year. My two daughters, they both got pregnant. And after 3 months, they went for their first scan. Almost to the same day. One daughter's baby was fine. The other daughter's baby, there was no heartbeat. It had been growing outside the womb, and it died. It was one of those hard things that happen in life. It's not because she was a bad daughter and the other was a good daughter. That's what life's like for everybody, isn't it? Sometimes life is hard. Tough things we can't control come to all of us. In our society, people say, whatever doesn't kill you makes you tougher. That's wrong. It can make you callous, cold-hearted, detached from people. The hard things in life can mess up your mind and mess up your relationships. We all live in a world where there are tough things. The good news is that Jesus wants to walk with you, even carry you through these times. He's not willing to let you sink. He's willing to suffer for you and with you. He showed that when he died a horrible death to rescue you. And now he wants to walk with you, wherever you are this morning. Come to Jesus. That's the good news for us all. Christian or non-Christian, brothers and sisters, this morning, if you think God is speaking to you, at the end of this service, pray that prayer. Invite him into your life so that he's there with you through this week, through this life. Don't miss out. He won't force his way in. He's waiting for you to ask him. Pray with somebody at the front. Pray with somebody next to you. Take that step. Because that's the good news. Through the wonderful times and through the tough times, he wants to be with you.